702.
Weekend Breakfast with Googs Mhlungu.
Standing in for Ifilo Mpakanyane on 702.
Live.
Online.
Smartphones.
DSTV.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
702. Let's walk the talk.
It's 24 minutes before 8 o'clock. Welcome back to Weekend Breakfast right here on 702. Time for us to get into our conversation about sustainability. And in a moment, we'll speak to a company that's trying to be kinder to the universe by not raising animals, but for slaughter, for us to eat as meat, but still meeting our demands for meat, just without all of that. And I'm always quite keen to hear if people are willing, or if you are willing, to eat meat substitutes. I love a meat substitute, mainly because I'm not all that committed to meat, if I'm honest. I've just been putting off the inevitable, which I know at some point in my life, I will give up meat. I'm just not committing to that life, but I know it's going to happen eventually. So I love a meat substitute. In fact, and sometimes I prefer it, but some people don't. But we do need to have a very serious conversation about our meat eating ways and the impact they're having on the environment, especially if you're someone who loves beef. Beef is brutal on the environment. It needs a lot of land, it needs a lot of water. It's just a messy, clunky business, you know, for your burger, for your steak. And so we are being asked to look at alternatives. But are you willing to try those alternatives? Let us know on 011-883-0702. Send us your SMSs on 31702. Or send us your WhatsApp messages on 072-702-1702. Join now on the line by Brett Thompson, co-founder and CEO of the Mzansi Meat Company. Brett, good morning. Welcome to Weekend Breakfast.
Morning, Greg. Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for joining us. So tell us about the Mzansi Meat Company. What does it do?
So Mzansi Meat, we're Africa's first cultivated meat company. And essentially what that means, also known as lab-grown meat, is that we are taking a few cells from an animal, and then we're growing meat outside the animal in conditions that perfectly replicate the conditions that you find in a cow's body or in your body or in mine, because we're all mammals and all have the sort of similar conditions to create the cells that are required for meat at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. And why the decision to cultivate meat or grow it in a lab?
It's good. It's a good question, and I think it sort of ties into what you were saying a little bit earlier about you loving, or you like meat, but you've also kind of thinking to cut back.
Mm-hmm.
Same decision I made about 15 years ago. I said, well, I wanted to stop eating meat, but I like the taste of meat. So
mm-hmm.
I've worked in the last 10 years in companies that produce meat alternatives. But after those 10 years, I've sort of realized that there is, from where I see it at the moment, a bit of a limit for what these plant meats can do. Plant-based meats can do, and also particularly for South African consumers and also South Africans, there's such a strong connection to meat that I think sometimes isn't actually captured. So when you are able to cultivate meat, you are able to create the exact same thing, but with, you know, less of the externalities that are associated with what you spoke about, water and a few other things, when you look at it compared to conventional meat.
And so for someone who doesn't know what exactly it entails, how exactly do you cultivate meat? What
Sure. What
happens without giving away, obviously, you know, your trade secrets?
Yeah, trade secrets. Look, I haven't had enough coffee this morning to give away the trade secrets, so don't worry. But in terms of what we do, we work with a sanctuary here, and we're based in Cape Town. So we work with a sanctuary from Greyton in Cape Town, where we take small biopsies from an animal. Biopsy is a little, it's a procedure which takes about the size of a peppercorn of muscle and fat tissue from an animal. We predominantly work with bovine or beef, but we've also taken samples from chicken and lamb and pigs. We then bring those samples back, or tissue samples back, to our facility here in Woodstock in Cape Town. And then, as I said, it's replication of the exact same thing that's happening in your body and the cow's body. So it's 37 degrees, it's the regulation of oxygen and carbon dioxide, pH levels. And then we feed those cells in something called a cultivator or a bioreactor, similar to what you would see in a brewery. It's actually a very, very similar process. We feed them food or media, which contains amino acids, fatty acids, salts, growth factors, a number of things to allow those cells to go and duplicate and reduplicate. And at scale, the process takes about 3 to 4 weeks, where we are able to take developing cell lines and eventually get to muscle tissue and fat. We then do the same process that you find in conventional meat and mince it up and then add some spices and whatnot so that you can get your burger, which we're doing at the moment, and mm-hmm. then sausages and ultimately things like steak and sort of whole cuts of meat.
So I had two questions there. So this is not a meat substitute. So it's not like eating a soy product. It's not a plant-based product. It's an actual meat product, but it doesn't come from an actual animal. It is cultivated in a lab.
I think that's a good clarifying question. I think a lot of people will compare us to a meat substitute. It's protein. It's meat. It's full. It's exactly what you find in conventional meat, except it's just done without. We require a few amount of cells in the beginning from the animal, but then but going forward, we don't need to go back and kill an animal so that we can process the meat. So it is exactly the same, but it's done with a different process, cultivated in what at the moment is a lab, but because we're small scale. But as we develop the size of our facility, it will resemble something similar to what you would find in a brewery.
And I know you were saying then once you're done and once the process has happened over a couple of weeks, you can then end up with an actual product. So like a burger, sausages, but you were also saying you can actually get cuts of meat. So I could get, for instance, a rump or T-bone.
Exactly. So, I mean, we're still working on the R&D to find out exactly what makes a rump a rump. The cells react differently, and it's actually what you feed them that's we're finding is more important than where you actually take them from the animal's body. And then when it comes to the actual formulation of it, so we're working on a couple of ways to go get that whole cut type of meat, whether it's growing it in different processes or the way we're doing it at the moment, still very much in early stages, is the ability to go out and print a steak where you rework what we all know as a 3D printer. And that's with something which is called process of bioprinting, so that you're taking muscle and fats and scaffolding and then printing a steak from sort of the ground up, as you could say, which will allow you to have that whole cut compared to the products or the meat that we're making at the moment, which is ground beef.
Mm. And I'm quite interested in what are some of the responses you've received? Because over the years, as we've seen more plant or non-meat alternatives, some people have said, oh, wow, okay, I could do it, but it doesn't feel like the real thing. Or, you know, when we hear about stuff that's being done, for instance, in a lab by scientists, people go, oh, well, I don't know that that's the real thing. And I'm quite interested to hear, you know, what are some of the responses you've had to the product?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I've worked in my background is actually sales and marketing, so working in the kind of consumer perception side of this discussion of food for a number of years. So I really think it's the only way to get something across the line is for people to accept it and be interested and want to try it. We first, only about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we actually launched our burgers for the first time. It was a small event of about 50 people here in Cape Town. Only a few people got to try it because we're only able to make it in small amounts at the moment when it comes to our meat. The reach that we got, the excitement that we got after that, I mean, there's an overwhelming positive response from media, from the public, and excitement and interest, particularly in the food service industry as well. A lot of interest in what we're doing, which for me is a great sign. In terms of, there's also people curious about it, there are people that have negative things to say, as you would expect with something like this. New, different people would have similar things about telephones, cell phones in the beginning, and electric cars or whatever it is. When there's a new technology, there's generally going to be pushback. When it comes to it's called food neophobia. It's a sort of perception of new is different, it's weird, I don't want it. So I think what we are doing is being the first because we were the first company to be doing it, we really want to be working with South Africans and getting to understand them. So we're doing a lot of research with them, getting them to understand what potential perceptions there are and what are the negative ones. And I think getting over that lab-grown hump is important because, as I said, if anybody buys a beer or anyone goes shopping for predominantly most food, they will have an R&D lab in most food facilities where they're all very comfortable to buy food from. We're moving from a lab into a larger food facility. So I think for us, it's getting people comfortable with the idea that, yes, it started in the lab, but going forward, it's going to be working in a facility that they're far more used to. And, if you had to compare it to some of the conventional ways of making meat, that also has got its setbacks, whether it's from disease and obviously the treatment of animals and some of the environmental footprints that you spoke to. So I think to answer your question is really getting to understand what South Africans' concerns are and then working with them and then showcasing and being as transparent about the process that we're taking as possible.
And in terms of the quantities, I know you were saying when you launched the patties a couple of weeks ago, that was quite a small amount. But I guess if you guys are then operating at full speed or at full capacity, how much of these products could you be producing? Would they be able to meet the demand? Because South Africans do love their meat.
Yeah, so we eat a lot of meat, particularly on the African continent compared to any other African countries and probably to other emerging markets. Looking compared to the rest of the world, we actually don't eat as much, but it's still, particularly amongst the middle class, not that South Africans do eat a lot of meat. And then I think the other thing for what we're trying to appreciate and understand is that for many, eating, it's a case of not eating enough protein. So for us, it's about trying to meet that protein gap the protein gap that's developed and that's going to continue going forward as the South African population rises and the African population, because we do want to be an African company and sell to the rest of the continent. In terms of our ability, so the industry itself, I won't go into too much detail, is only about 10 years old. The first time ever that international company, we're about 2 years old, the first time ever that anyone was able to sell was about December 2020, and that was in Singapore. So it's a very, very recent industry, and a lot of people are dealing with regulations and food safety and these sort of types of things to be able to sell to a large consumer, and that's across the world amongst the companies that are working in this space. Last year, we were at a very small scale, being able to produce not even a few grams. This year, we're moving into the kilograms, and then next year, we want to be able to be producing a ton. South Africans eat a ton of meat. I mean, it's something astronomical in terms of maybe about a billion chickens, for example, and millions of cows. Mm-hmm. So we in the beginning are probably going to be seen as an additional component to conventional meat. And then over time, our facility and scale-up, we're hoping to be able to produce, 3 to 4 weeks, we were able to make a kilogram or so now. In the future, we want to be able to make tons and tons of meat to service in the beginning, 2023, 2024, the food industry, and then moving into retail shortly thereafter. So the scale-up happens now. We're in our scale-up phase, growth phase, so that we can, excuse the pun, but meet the demand going forward.
Yeah. And in terms of the technology that's being used to do this, is it a technology developed here, or are we using a technology, are you using a technology that already exists?
It's a bit of both. So, 10 years ago, this became commercially viable, the understanding of what to do. But it's not a case of you can't just, it's not so-and-so from overseas can have this technology and do it in my country. It costs a lot of money and licensing and intellectual property. So we started in 2019, officially in March 2020, and we brought a bunch of scientists and put them in a facility to get them to start developing this tech and this technology. So there is a level of working capital or capital expenditure on the actual equipment, which we've been able to uniquely develop for what we need. So that's quite unique to us in South Africa. Those cultivators that I spoke about earlier were actually developed in South Africa and then be reworked and to be fitted towards growing cultivated meat. And then it's sort of a unique process of taking you could take one cell and it's not going to create a burger. So you've got to be able to create the environment, as I said, and that's quite a unique process that we've developed. For us, it's quite exclusive to what we're doing here in South Africa. Other people are doing it overseas, but we've been able to develop quite a unique non-genetically modified cell line that was enabling us to get to that commercial level.
A final question, which I guess would be important for the consumer and someone who might be thinking about maybe making the switch. Does cultivated meat taste like, meat grown the normal way? Do we grow meat? But you know what I mean. Does it taste like, the patty, the sausage that I get normally?
So it's such an interesting question. I haven't eaten meat in 15 years, and that's how I start the question. Start answering this question is that, so I'm probably not the best person to ask, because the last time I had a steak was, before the World Cup in 2010. So, in terms of last month or whenever it was, when I was able to eat our burgers, I've been eating a lot our meatballs and everything before that. But it for me tasted exactly like what I remembered, that beef burger, the taste, the smell. And there's so many other aspects of meat that comes through, the aroma when you cook it, the smoke, the sizzle, all that type of stuff was what I saw that I hadn't seen with me eating my veggie burgers over the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
But also don't take me for, don't take my word for it, because we also brought in a few other people, one of them included a politician, we had a chef, we had a more recent vegetarian. And the chef who works exclusively in this beach, Upsi, who also works with us, she was like, this tastes like meat. And also we work with a flavor house as well that developed the spices that we use. And they work with a lot of meat. And, it tastes like fresh or smells like fresh minced meat. And then when you cook it, it cooks and tastes like a burger. So, but this is just the beginning for us. By the time that many South Africans will be able to try our Mzanzi meat, that taste and that experience, I think, is going to be exactly the same, and I'm hoping one day even better.
Mm. Bert, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's been a pleasure chatting to you.